We read from the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, the fifth chapter, verses 1 through 12, known through sort of all the generations as the Beatitudes. Listen to these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak to them, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. For rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted you, they persecuted the prophets before you." These words from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, along with Micah 6, verses 1 through 8, are by the Holy Spirit the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, brothers and sisters, near and far, wherever you are within the sound of our voices today, we have had two readings which really are a blessing. They are a gift from the Holy Spirit. Our Old Testament text from Micah and then our New Testament text from Matthew are two of the great gems of the entire Bible. I mean, the whole Bible, as the book of James teaches us, is good for teaching and for faith building. But these two are two of the gems, two of the great texts that we have. I need us all to know that I did not pick these texts today. We, your worship leaders, did not pick these texts today. No, we at White Memorial did not choose these. Instead, with all the new staff members who've been joining us these last few months, we've been dedicated to using the lectionary text. That is the classically appointed text for each Sunday that many churches have been using for decades now. And so the Holy Spirit, in a very unique way, is speaking directly into our times. I think the Bible is speaking directly into our times, not in a way that is overly political, but in a way that is biblical and moral. It speaks directly to the question, these two texts, one from Micah, one from Matthew, as to what kind of people that we want, what kind of people do we want to be? And that is a very big question, asked first by Micah and then by Matthew, quite literally thousands of years ago. So here's what's going on in Micah 6. The biblical words of the ancient prophet, the main point begins with the question, "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high?" The prophet Micah is asking, what is it that makes us presentable before God? How do we stand before God in either righteousness or God's judgment? What do we have to do to make ourselves acceptable to the Lord? After several propositions, Micah runs through at least three. Micah finally arrives at verse 8 and what the Lord requires: to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. My first Old Testament professor was a guy named Sib Towner, and he once told us in class that this was the golden text, the golden text of the Old Testament, that is the ethical summation of both the law of Moses and the witness of the prophets. And his lesson was a lesson that I never forgot, not only because it was a good one, but because he was right. In the annals of human history, the achievement of all three of these at the same time, justice, kindness, and humility, has proven to be a hard thing to achieve. Don't believe me? Just go home and watch the news. Just turn on the television. And then ask yourself, is there justice in the world? Is there any equal justice for all people in the world, in our own country? And then ask this, are we kind to one another? Is that what we're known for these days? Or do we follow the lead of the figures who dominate our media and social media and try to blame and shame our debate partners instead of working for compromise? How about humility? Are the people that we watch in our video clips humble? Do they admit they're wrong or try to correct their missteps? See, the long shadow of Micah, and it is a long shadow, asked those questions of us in the 21st century, just as it did of its first hearers thousands of years ago. And biblical truths have a way of doing this to us, casting long shadows and taking each and every epoch of history into account. That leads me to the Beatitudes. I've been thinking a lot about the Beatitudes lately. Found at Matthew 5, 1 through 12, they begin the Sermon on the Mount, and they represent some of the most important words that Jesus ever spoke. They're very near my mind these days because as we're using them today for February 1st in worship, we're also using them next week on February 8th as our high school students chose these same verses for Youth Sunday, and they did so months ago, months and months ago. And so we've got this convergence where our congregation is being asked to feast on the Beatitudes for a couple of weeks in a row. And that has given me over the last couple of weeks to read this text, to think deeply about it, and to pray over it repeatedly. You know, these Beatitudes, according to my word program, my word processor program, they're only 170 words in English. It's only 170. That's not many. And yet they speak richly of the blessing of being peacemakers, of the blessing of practicing meekness, which is another way of saying gentleness or kindness, and about being pure of heart. These words call us on those days when our spirits are poor and our faith is weak to remember the kingdom of heaven itself. They call us the children of God. They inspire us to seek righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be the ones who receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's a long list of blessings, ethical admonitions from Jesus. And I think it should set the pattern of life for Christian people. Things like kindness, things like purity of heart, things like righteousness, things like peacemaking. Yeah, if you've never tried to memorize the Beatitudes, if you've never written them down or put them on your refrigerator, now is the time to do it. I remember a few years back, there was this big movement in our country to place the Ten Commandments in city halls and courthouses, a movement that some states in our country followed. At the same time, it was the modern theologian and spiritual writer, Richard Rohr, who said something to the effect that posting the Ten Commandments in public spaces would be a great idea, but it would be an even better idea if the Ten Commandments were posted side by side next to these Beatitudes, the very text that we have read today. That was for me then, and it is a fine for me now, a fine reminder that the law of God always belongs side by side with the declaration of the mercies and blessings of God. Where one goes, the other should follow. And it should follow closely because we humans need them both. Because we Christians should follow and apply them both. So what does this do for us today? This combination of Micah 6 and Matthew 5, the golden texts of the Old Testament and the Beatitude of Jesus. I think what they do when we read them together like this is they give us a moral imperative and some moral direction towards our own moral responsibility. God is speaking to us here. God is speaking to us directly here. Jesus is teaching us here so that whenever we see justice violated, kindness ignored, humility rejected, purity of heart or peacemaking dismissed, we should pay attention and we can be concerned. Just as when we see justice, kindness, humility, peacemaking, purity, any of that achieved, we should be overjoyed. We should be celebrating and thank God for the goodness that we have experienced. These are all inherently good things, and we should take note of them and allow them to shape our lives. These are godly things, brothers and sisters. And godly things are ultimately moral things. And moral things demand our attention and our prayer. Now, as you are all aware, we live in what I would describe as a hyper-partisan moment, where nearly everything that we hear or see, nearly everything that we say to others is filtered through all these different political lenses. That makes preaching about moral issues or even world or national events pretty difficult. But there are times in the life of the church when we need to talk and pray about the moral implications of that which is happening around us. You might remember we did this at White Memorial after Sandy Hook in Uvalde. We did this after the end of the war in Afghanistan. We did this at the beginning of the war in Gaza. We do this from time to time. And lately, I think it takes courage to turn on the news. And also, I think it takes prayer to discern how to respond and how to act and what to do about it. And lately, we've heard from our sister churches up in Minnesota who are asking us to pay attention and to pray. And when we take the lenses of Micah and the lenses of the Beatitudes, what the prophet said and what Jesus said, and we look closely at the recent events in Minnesota, we see a disconnect between God's says should be and what is happening. What is happening up there is not morally sustainable, as immigration enforcement and the public have clashed with deadly consequence. Something's got to give there, friends. Something has to change. As you know, if you know me, I'm not running for office, and I'm not actually a particularly political person. I'm actually more or less off of social media. It drove me nuts during COVID, and I just sort of quit. But at the same time, as a pastor, I've been called to talk about moral issues. Like I said in the fall, when we talked about this, briefly, I should say, but like I said in the fall, the major failing of our leaders is the lack of any substantial immigration reform since 1986. I was 14 years old. And the world and our country have changed a lot over the last 40 years. You might be wondering, do we need faithful law enforcement in our communities? We do. We need those folks to do their jobs very well. We do. But part of doing their jobs really well is acting with moral clarity. And that clarity has been horribly lacking in recent days with our neighbors in the north. Compare that confusion and chaos, which we see on the news up there, to what I saw as clarity of person, purpose, and mission. We saw it in Raleigh this past weekend with the 24 monks who are from the Wang Dao Vispana Bhavana Center in Fort Worth, Texas. I hope I'm saying that right. What are they doing? Why did people go see the monks? Because they are walking from Texas to Washington, D.C., and they're doing it to spread a message of unity, kindness, peace, and healing by simply showing up in people's communities with moral clarity and purpose. I know lots of people who went to go see them. I've heard from 5 or 6 of them over the past few days. Young and old, they are left and right, but everyone who saw them was equally touched and inspired. The message they presented to us, those who would listen, was to stop being so invested in conflict, stop being so distracted by phones and social media, to clear our minds in order to really see the world around us. The message was to pay attention to each other so we can see how desperately we need each other and how everyone around us at their core truly desires peace. It was as if they were saying, with every step they took, to major in the majors and not to get so distracted by the small things, to keep the main things the main things. I wonder what our nation might look like if everyone on our TV stopped with all the blaming and shaming and simply decided to live and act like Jesus wants us to. You see, Jesus is right. Blessed really are the pure in heart. Blessed really are the peacemakers, the kind, the meek. Is there anyone around us who does not want to see more faithfulness, more purity, more peacefulness, and more kindness in this world? And just imagine how free we would all feel if the blessings of Jesus and the way of God truly directed all things instead of the ever-changing winds and tides of political fortune and power. I'm reminded today of a quote from the great American man of letters, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who once said, "A deep man, a deep person, believes that the evil eye can wither, that the heart's blessing can heal, and that love can overcome all odds." The evil eye can wither. We don't have to be consumed with terrible things, evil things. The heart's blessing can heal. We can heal brokenness around us. Love can overcome all the odds. And even though right now is a really tough moment, it is, to lead a church, this church or any church, even though it's not particularly easy to faithfully speak into what the gospel is saying, I still trust those words that blessing can heal and love overcome. I am still inspired by Micah every time I hear the text. And as I read the Beatitudes each and every time, they make me want to recommit to the calling that Christ gave me and to follow Jesus all the more. If we focused on Jesus' words in the Beatitudes, I think we could be blessed by those 170 words. They are a masterpiece, which if we could actually put into practice every day, be a tonic for our time. See, as Christians, our first loyalty is to our Christ. And Jesus in Matthew 5 blesses us while giving us a vision as to what he longs for the world to look like. A good example that comes to us from our hymn book, it's hymn number 372. It's called O Four of the World, O Four World. Two of the lines go like this: the poor are rich, the weak are strong, the foolish ones are wise. Tell all who mourn, outcast belong, he who perishes will rise. O Four World, preparing for God's glorious reign of peace, where time and tears will be no more, and all but love will cease. Today, I call us to pray for our deeply conflicted and awfully confused country. We have many neighbors who don't know what to do and who are hurting out there. I know I've heard from many of you. Today, I call us to pray for an end to the conflict which beguiles us and has hurt so many around us, even costing some their lives. Today I call us to learn the words of Jesus in Matthew 5, to remember the words of Micah in chapter 6, and to do our very best in big ways and small ways to see those words come to life in the world around us. In the name of God the Father, and of God the Son, and of God the Holy Spirit, we offer these things. Amen. Indeed, brothers and sisters, wherever we find ourselves as we worship together this day, we belong to God. Know that in the grace and promise of God, who is Creator, Jesus Christ, who is Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who is indeed our Sustainer, that in the promise and fellowship of that Trinity, we indeed find belonging and we find purpose. May we go out into the world to love our neighbors as ourselves and to serve those in need around us, praying always for the grace of the Lord to bless us all. Be well, dear friends. Amen.